There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
The NFC North looks to be the strongest division in football.
I'm starting to envision this like war of conversations because Ryan Poles likes to be aggressive around the deadline.
Keep shooting your shot.
Get Wani up in here.
He wants to talk about the election, he told me. He said, who do you think is going to win the election?
Tell him to walk down the hall to BBN.
He doesn't trust the polls.
I don't know if that's in our purview.
Hey, there's some people don't trust the polls either. You know, look at this roster he built. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
That deserved a rim
shot. It really didn't.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
What's most important is that we stay united.
What many Americans believe will be the most consequential election in recent American history.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
Unburdened by what has been, you know?
Arnold Palmer was all man. When he took showers with the other pros, they came out of there, they said, oh my God, that's unbelievable.
Here's Chris Berman.
Election day tomorrow. Go out and vote no matter what the weather is. Make your voice heard. It's not only our duty, it's our privilege. Here we go with our fastest 3 minutes. Welcome to the soggy tundra of Lambeau Field.
Hey. Can I ask you a personal question?
What?
Who are you voting for?
Raymond Schneider.
You're voting for Raymond Schneider?
Yeah.
I have a proposition for you. I'm voting for Mayu. We kind of cancel each other out. You know, this line of, why don't we get the hell out of here?
I like it.
Huh? Yeah? Beautiful. Let's go.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. There is still a lot for us to do in the last hour of the show. We've talked a little bit about Quincy Jones today. Jason Leisure was in studio. If you use the rewind function on the Odyssey app, you can check out all of it. Wait until 6 o'clock, but then you can check out all of it.
Yeah, man. It's been a lot of cool stuff. I love that Jason was still hanging around in Arizona and here on the off day came to hang out with you and your home away from home out there. Anything, by the way, left in the hopper from your game day experience and hanging out and in post game in the locker room that we should get to? We got time later or got time tomorrow as well.
Yeah,
there's cool perspective, I thought.
There's a couple other things that we can add to the conversation of things that I saw, heard, and were told. Mm-hmm. For sure, that we could absolutely do that as this week goes on. I was actually talking with Mitch about it today. I think I'm going to try to do at least one more game from a media standpoint. And just because it's just a different point of view, and it's very much what I'm used to.
Yeah.
So I think at least one and maybe one more trip, depending on what the Bears look like.
Well, here. You know, it's interesting because, well, that'd be cool because you have the unique opportunity to be a traveling man as you are. Like seemingly all the time, Lawrence is out and about. But, you know, we both went to a game as a fan this year and brought that perspective. We're so used to bringing the television perspective. And then you as the former beat guy getting a chance to get out there and see it from the media perspective because, I mean, this whole league is talking about, you know, teams that are ramping up and teams that are ramping down. And that's very much where the Bears are at this point. Not the least of which because Caleb Williams has had a rough couple of weeks.
He has. And so So that you know kind of where, I know that the afternoon show audience might not have heard me talk about these things on middays, but I wanted to kind of catch you up to kind of what my working thesis is when it comes to quarterback play in the NFL. My feeling is I would say probably, I mean, I guess maybe 20 years ago now, but somewhere in there in the last 20 years, I think that we saw a shift on the lowest levels of football, where when you would get the most talented athlete in a lot of these programs, it used to be when we were growing up, that guy played running back or that guy played wide receiver. Now, I think what's happened is that coaches have gotten wise and they said, well, if I have the most dynamic athletic player, I would like the ball in his hands more often. And I don't want to have to count on someone getting him the ball when I can just give him the ball on every snap and allow him to play quarterback and in some cases be the best athlete on the field and do that. And I think that we've seen a rise in that player making it to the NFL.
That's
guys
interesting.
Like Cam Newton or Alex Smith, for example.
So that's interesting. So does that coincide with the collegeification of NFL offenses and NFL GM's willingness to take chances with athletic and perhaps raw players in that role? Where's the chicken? Where's the egg?
Yeah. I do think that like you're seeing more coaches kind of do the same thing, where if Cam Newton walks onto your campus, you're like, oh, well, I want that guy to have the ball as often as possible. And you do it. And I think that where before that quarterback was kind of labeled as ATH, like in scouting, now there's a whole section of dual threat. He's the number one dual threat quarterback in high school, or he's the number 10 dual threat guy, instead of just going, I don't know what position this guy plays. And I think that it's allowed some guys to make it to the NFL that would have been moved, like their positions would have been moved. And it wasn't that long ago that people were talking about moving Lamar Jackson to play wide receiver. Was it Polian who said that suggested that might be a place for him to be a great pro, is at the wide receiver spot. And now he's won two MVPs and might be on his way to his third at this year with the way that he's playing. So I say all of that to say that there are still some coaches that I don't know how to coach those players when they make it to the pros, and there are some quarterbacks that don't have enough experience of taking snaps from center, turning their back to the defense, working in play action instead of like zone read fakes. I think there's a lot of quarterbacks that are still learning that when they get to the NFL level, and so it makes it so that coaches and front offices make snap judgments on what a player is, and then you end up seeing some guys have a renaissance later on in their career because they've had more experience, they've seen more things, they've been coached better, and then you have Geno Smith 10 years later being the league leader in passing yards in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I think that's all very well said and very sensible. And simultaneously, and like I was saying, chicken or the egg, you get the offenses getting sort of simplified on some level so they can be a little more quarterback friendly. And you get the concentration on trying to maximize the rookie quarterback's contract, because the salary cap, as affected by really paying your legit quarterback, usually after year three or year four at the most, changes the math and changes the possibilities of what you can do in the NFL. And we saw maybe the peak of that is when two quarterbacks on their rookie deals in Kaepernick and Russell Wilson were dominating the NFC. And like, we started to become wise to, oh, look what Seattle can do because Russ is on that deal. And then as soon as he got truly paid, that defense fell apart. Some by age, some by necessity.
Well, the front offices, though, to me, have been chasing that. And I think that's leaked into our consciousness as football fans too, of how important it is to make sure you're doing this in the first 4 years because of all the things, where there are so many different ways to win.
Yeah, but don't you think that also a lot of those front offices, in acknowledging that, have now decided to be way more aggressive with playing time with that young quarterback? And when you look at it as a line item in that way, sometimes you cut bait real fast because you're like, you know what? Even though it was a first round pick, it's still a really cheap contract. And so let's find out as quickly as possible what we have here to the detriment of these guys' development.
Yeah. And I think that part of the problem is that you then bring in coaches who are not qualified to really teach, and that they haven't, because they've had, you know, a quarterback here, a quarterback there, that was so used to working out of like a pro style offense that it might be easier to move them along than it would be some of the dual threat guys that move in, just because of the think about how many quarterbacks have never taken snaps from center. Mm-hmm. You know, Mitch Trubisky spent his entire 13 games in college in shotgun. So when John Gruden asked him during the QB school to go up and do a hard count, he has no idea what he's talking about. Like, that's sometimes like the level of disadvantage that some of these guys, because they were the best athlete, they've been moved along, but they haven't necessarily learned all the tools. Now, obviously, like, when you're able to marry a couple of different styles and you're able to have great teachers, like, clearly Andy Reid is that, and you take the air raid stuff that Patrick Mahomes was doing at Texas Tech, and you add it to West Coast stuff that Andy Reid has been doing, and you go, oh my God, look at what this could be when you have one of these that's able to move in that way. It was so funny, like, watching last night's game. Do you remember the game that Baker and Patrick played in college?
Oh, yeah. It's a legendary game with like crazy high scores and unbelievable stats. What Mahomes throw 7 touchdowns in that game? Something like that.
Yeah, and I think he threw for like 750 yards in that game. And Baker, I think, threw for almost 600 yards in that game. So, and Baker's actually a really good example of this, too.
Yeah, of
another
course.
Dual threat quarterback that was taken number one and was thrown to the wolves too early. And now you look, you know, 5 years later of where he is after Cleveland decided that they were ready to move on. And he has become a pretty good overall quarterback.
Yeah, they combined for almost 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns with only one interception. Mahomes was 52 for 88 in that game in college. Well, look, this is great context for perhaps the afternoon listener who may not have heard you discuss it. And Lord knows I've talked about everything we learned while watching Mitch, everything we learned while watching Justin, and everything we've learned talking to quarterback experts. Different one every single year as we've been dealing with whatever iteration of young quarterback is trying to break in, and we've learned stuff from Kurt Warner. But I'm eager to hear this, where Greg Olsen, who's obviously such a really, really good football mind, and a guy
and he's coaching young guys.
Yeah,
like that's the thing, that he's seeing it at a bunch of different levels, similar to Matt Bowen. So here's what he was saying to Ryan Russillo about the problems of development.
There's the Cam Newtons of the world, right? There's the anomalies. There's the guys that had limited college experience. Cam played, you know, for all intents and purposes, 1 year at Auburn, never lost a game, won the Heisman Trophy, first overall draft pick, and then obviously became Cam Newton. So, like, there are examples of guys who have spotty, not a huge track record. But over the last couple of years, what we're seeing is the Brock Purdy's, the young players who are coming into the league and finding success and getting grounded and getting rooted, played 48 games in major college football. They threw 3 picks in a game. They lost. They won. They played in the rain. They had good days, bad days. They worked through a lot of the normal things that are going to happen at the quarterback position. The difference was, instead of working it out on an NFL level as the number one overall pick or the first round pick or whatever pick you are, you work through it in Iowa. You work through it in Virginia, wherever. And it's just a different experience. That's going to happen. I don't care who you are at the quarterback position. You're going to have your ups and downs as a young player. And it's magnified because of the position. Your point about And doesn't matter what anyone else around you is doing. If you're getting repeated poor play out of the quarterback position, you have zero chance of winning in the NFL. There is no sport more dependent on one position's success than the way current NFL football is set up. The entire game is, in most cases, put on the backs of a quarterback. And I think the teams that understand it, the Kyle Shanahans of the world and guys like that, yes, they understand the value of having a good quarterback. And when those teams do have good quarterbacks, the results speak for themselves. But when they don't fall off the face of the earth, because the entire system is not predicated on the success or lack thereof of the quarterback. So when you talk about Anthony Richardson, the style he's being asked to play is what they were doing to Jalen Hurts. He's in shotgun every snap. No one's moving. Stationary spread formations. I understand why he's in the gun, because you want to keep the quarterback run threat, but he gets hurt. So like asking your quarterback to stand in the shotgun, catch the ball and play and throw the ball every down is virtually impossible in today's day and age. But these guys don't learn to get under center. They've never taken an under center snap in their lives. Their entire lives have been 7-on-7 football. It's been passing offense. I coach middle school football here at my kid's school. Of the 8 games we played, 6 of the teams never one time lined up under center, never one time had 2 backs in the backfield, and never one time had a tight end. These kids just don't learn real football. And now we're seeing the evolution of football at the NFL level. The best teams, they get under center. It's play action. The reason they're doing that is because it takes the stress load off the quarterback. So I think there is a developmental problem in the whole pipeline of quarterbacks from high school to college and then, of course, to the NFL. We don't develop them and we don't give them the skills to succeed as the levels increase. And then we also haven't yet bought into the style of offenses that alleviate some of the pressure from the position. We want the entire game to be on their shoulders, and then we get mad when they can't handle it at 22 years old. So there is no doubt we have a quarterback problem in the NFL. I think a lot of it's man-made. You can't tell me that these guys aren't wildly talented. They need to be coached. They need to be developed. They need to be draining along in a way that's conducive to their confidence and to their success. And I just don't think as a league in general, we do a good job of that.
It's fascinating. It's Greg Olsen talking about young quarterbacks. A point he made early on about the years and games of experience. Bo Nix, who's having a nice season.
So like 53 games, right, in college?
61.
Yeah.
61 games with 3 years at Auburn and 2 years at Oregon. Jaden Daniels, 55 games with 3 at Arizona State and 2 at LSU. Threw 10 picks his last year at Arizona State. Caleb Williams, 37 games and never had more than 5 picks. Not saying this is all the deal, but
he did struggle.
Yeah, for sure. But he did struggle. He did struggle a bit at USC, obviously, last year, and he talked about that as a good thing, that he had the opportunity to have some adversity there in his third year. But 61 and 55 versus 37, and it's also the additional extra couple years of practice, of training, of thinking, of watching tape, of being a teammate, all of it. It's interesting.
And with Jaden Daniels, like they spent a lot. I mean, I know this for a fact. Like they spent a lot of time early on at Arizona State just trying to put weight on the young man. Because I want to say when he walked in the door, he was 6'5", 175. And I think now he's up to about 210. But that was always a concern about like him physically. Was he going to be able to hold up? And I think that the jury is still out on that with Jaden Daniels. It's one of my concerns about him as a QB. But what Olsen is saying about 7-on-7 culture, like 7-on-7 passing camps and all of these things, and a texter said, well, hey, well, what do you mean by like not taking snaps under center? The idea of being able to take the snapshot, the survey of what the defense is, and then when you go to play action, having to almost turn your back to the defense, and then understanding where the route concepts are going to be, that takes a lot of reps to get comfortable. Quarterbacks start speeding up because they're not comfortable with it. And all of these guys have spent their time, you know, doing clap. They haven't, remember, Caleb didn't do an actual cadence because what they were doing was clap cadence. Yep. Like, all of that stuff plays a role in how this is developed.
Oh, man. And we've dealt with the last three quarterbacks, little moments like that in their first training camp. We're like, what? He's got to learn what? Some of the basics of footwork. Oh, let's. How does he control a huddle? What? He's never controlled a huddle? It's
how does
insane.
He call out a play?
Yeah. It, what's the terminology? I mean, how do you do it? There's more from Greg Olson that we want to get to in our next segment. Let's stay on this conversation. Before Mike Martz got rid of him because he didn't believe that the future called for tight ends that were good at catching passes, down the middle of the field, he had some time with the Bears, and he related this quarterback issue to his time with the Bears. Looking forward to hearing that and continuing the conversation on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
Cutler takes from center. Play fake. Hit as he lofts a pass right side. Olsen touchdown. Touchdown Bears.
I never talked to him after the season about it. And neither the Bears nor Olsen. So, no, I didn't get rid of anybody.
See, the perception was, Mike, that everybody was just doing what you wanted to do because you were the guy with the pedigree from the Rams.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I sat in my office and nobody walked through that door to ask me a question.
Okay.
So the upfront Ted was going to do what Ted was going to do.
I don't believe you.
Mike Martz with me and Danny, I think last year. We talked to him a couple times. You're not buying it?
Brandon Manumaliuna.
That's the kind of tight end he wanted for his
offense. Whoa.
I don't believe you one bit.
Shane, what did you reach out to Mike Martz about a week or so ago? And he gave you an answer, but said he's no longer available to do radio hits.
Yeah, about Caleb. And he texted back, no longer available, but liked Caleb. Chicago finally gets their guy. That's what he said to me.
Had no longer available. Means Mike Martz had enough of the whole media game.
Yeah, he was doing 33rd team for a while. I think a lot of people got tired of the 33rd team.
Yeah, it seems to be the case, huh? It's too bad. Is Wani still doing stuff over there?
Don't think so.
Okay. There's another one.
So Greg Olson was the subject of that conversation, and he's been the subject of our conversation. As we talk about the big picture stuff, as it pertains to the development of quarterbacks. And I think it's similar to what people in baseball have been trying to figure out about how to protect arms. I don't know if anyone is consistently good at developing quarterbacks to being really good pros. I think that there's so many different philosophies on it that it's difficult to pin down what is the exact right way to go about it.
Yeah, man, it's a lot like the arm. I mean, it's a lot like the arm in baseball, and forever they're looking for ways and trying to figure out, and now they've basically decided in baseball, well, the only thing we can really do is just have a lot of them.
Yep.
Just have as many as possible, and we'll use them for short stints, and maybe that'll help, but we'll just keep cycling through them. So instead of, instead of worried about one guy to go 7-8 innings, let's just, you know, have 8 different guys. And the Dodgers just won a World Series doing that.
And sometimes we're too quick to be like, this guy has arrived as a quarterback. I don't know if you've been paying attention to C.J. Stroud over the last couple of weeks, but the book is now out. And the book says blitz him more than 50% of the time. And if you will have some success against him. So there's a lot here. And Greg Olson went on to talk about the quarterback situation on the Russillo pod. And he discussed what it was like from his time being a Bear.
I've had a very interesting quarterback journey in my career. So, and again, all these guys were good in their own rights in various moments and times. And I never played with a bad quarterback. So Rex was the quarterback. We're coming off the Super Bowl. I wasn't on the team, but I got drafted that ensuing offseason. Rex Grossman's the quarterback. Then we went to Brian Griese, who threw me my first ever touchdown. And then I want to say Orton either finished the season or he started as the starter my second year in the league. But at least in my first 2 years, it was Rex, Griese, and Kyle Orton. And then in my third year, we traded for Cutler. So in years 3 and 4, it was Jay. So I had 4 quarterbacks in my 4 years in Chicago. We all understand we signed up for a big boy world, big boy football. Like no one's asking for any sympathy. But within the locker room, these are your buddies. These are your friends. There's personal connections of different levels with all of these guys, the starting quarterback, the scout team quarterback. Like, these guys are all like in your friend group. You go out to dinner together. So there's always the personal connection that I think everyone doesn't give enough credit to. But just from a football standpoint, you know, I go back to that rookie year and here I am. I'm just trying to find my way in the league. I'm just trying to find what I'm good at and how I can contribute as a young player that had very high expectations on our team, you know, essentially coming off the Super Bowl loss the year before to Indianapolis. So, and now all of a sudden with every quarterback change, there is a slight change in game plan because every quarterback has their different strengths, weaknesses. I'm a better under center play action guy. I'm a better gun guy. I got more experience in West Coast offense. Well, I'm more comfortable in spring, you know, whatever. There's a million ways to play quarterback and play offense. And all these guys have their own individual journey leading up to their time in the NFL. So all of that shapes play calling, strategy, you know, do we want to be more defensive minded run game? Do we want to open up the offense and go more passing game, more 11 personnel? Do we want to go big bodies and run it? Like, there's a million factors. And a lot of those things are heavily weighted on who is the quarterback and what do they do well. So, yeah, I mean, to have throughout the course of the season, essentially 3 quarterback changes, right? So, again, thanks for refreshing my memory. So, Rex to Griese, back to Rex, then ultimately to Kyle.
It's kind of 4.
It's really 4 amongst 3 guys. So it's challenging on everybody. Obviously, no more so challenging than on the quarterbacks themselves. But for everyone around him, who, like you said earlier, we are all dependent on that position, it's challenging. It's new. You get a lot of questions in the media. That's a whole nother animal of dealing with the press, especially in Chicago. That adds more chaos and more distraction. So it's a very multi-layered issue when you start talking about replacing the quarterback, let alone multiple times in a season.
Yeah, I just think, and I mean, it's easy to just kind of lose perspective on some of these things, but I'm thinking about you as a rookie. Hey, we got to talk to Greg Olson about what he thinks about all this quarterback drama.
And then you're probably, I don't know, like, anything. I don't even
you
know.
You must be having, right. Like, your buddies are probably hitting you up being like, I can't believe you're addressing like this major issue with the Chicago Bears.
What do you mean? I don't know who. I don't even know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know. I'm just happy they gave me a jersey.
I love that.
Oh, it's so good. All right, Lawrence. Well, look, I get it. And here we are. And I think these are very valuable segments to do because we're setting up the key question, which we're going to have lots of chances together to talk about. And that's, how do you fix it? How do we fix this? And baseball keeps trying. And like I said, they're throwing numbers at it, and we don't need to get sidetracked in everything that they're trying to do, but they keep trying. This issue, how do you fix it? I have one immediate idea.
Okay.
And it doesn't deal with, you know, some of the developmental stuff growing up, but it does deal with the reality. Should the quarterback room have a separate salary cap than the rest of the NFL. So you are not, from a team building perspective and a GM perspective, and thereby from a head coach perspective, forced into this idea that you better find out now no matter what. And you hopefully will unprogram or deprogram some of the impatience that has become baked in.
I think that I like that idea. I don't think that it fixes the problem, and I'll tell you why. Coaches are still going to be judged on win-loss record. And we'll see what happens with Matt Eberflus and how this season goes. But ordinarily, you can't really have three losing seasons and still keep your job, even in the name of development of a quarterback. So it would mean that front offices and ownership would have to completely change how they view their timeline for winning. Fans too. And I think, look, we can look at our example here in Chicago, where you look and you go, okay, Ryan Poles had to come in, and sure, there was a lot of things that he had to do. He had to completely turn the roster over. Well, now you've done that. Like, there's been a roster turnover, and you were setting it up for the drop quarterback in, and it should work. But the problem is that, and this is why I've been trying to tell people to, like, slow down on the gold jacket for Caleb. Let him find it. And it's going, even with what Jaden Daniels is doing, there's going to be a pendulum swing, and there's going to be some adversity for him playing that position. Let's see how he makes it. There are people who are still not, and you're one of them. There are people who are not sold on Jordan Love as a quarterback, and for good reason. He keeps giving you evidence of might be a little bit more Brett Favre than he is Aaron Rodgers.
Well, some of this speaks to the incredible difficulty of the position and what we're asking these guys to do. I mean, we praise Josh Allen, and understandably so, but that dude puts the ball in harm's way constantly, and nobody's going to coach it out of him, you know, because of the incredible plays that happen, and because NFL Open is as minuscule as it is. So it's a crazy difficult ask.
100%. Well. And then you start looking around at, like the nature versus nurture thing. Like, I am fascinated by this stuff. You look at Baltimore and them looking at Lamar Jackson being like, we can build something around him. And then they build it. And then it kind of hits a ceiling and they say, okay, he's ready to do more. We need to give him a coordinator that can do more. You look at Jared Goff in Detroit, and you go, this guy was kind of thrown away by Sean McVay. The smartest offensive mind in the league kind of threw that guy away. He lands in a place where he's got support, that he's got belief, and he's playing the best football of his career. He is... And Shane always loves to throw the stat out. I saw one this morning. He's only had 22 incompletions and 28 touchdowns over the last, what, 8 games.
Yeah, he's got more touchdowns than incompletions.
Like that, and part of that is the player developing. It's part of it who's around you. But the idea of that guy was kind of broken when he got to Detroit. And look at what a great coach was able to do to stay, have that guy stay connected. He'll never turn his back on Dan Campbell for as long as he lives, because he knows what Dan Campbell did for him and did for his career. So there's so many, like, different stories. Like Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow didn't start a lot of games in college, but he ends up winning the Heisman.
If we're trying to fix it, my thing about the different cap for a quarterback room is just one component of it, obviously. But there needs to be a few different things that get done here. Or are we just going to keep cycling through these young quarterbacks and they turn in to tomorrow's backups and the castoffs? And when Baker Mayfield shows that he can become a Ram in 2 days and play well on a Thursday night.
God, that was awesome.
Unbelievable. And it shows you what some of the possibilities are. And makes a few more teams be like, well, if I ever get a chance, I'm taking a chance on that guy. And then he gets a chance in Tampa, and he's completely rejuvenated his career. So maybe that's just the way it's going to go, but it sure does seem like a bad developmental system that makes it impossible to really truly draft, develop, and keep unless you do it like Green Bay does it.
I think that as more of the coaches that have had the dual threat guys make their way to the NFL, it'll get a little bit easier. But yeah, it's a problem league wide, and mm-hmm. and I think people are starting to notice it, which I think is good. That's a way to get to a solution. When we come back, man, we got a treat for you from one of our regulars, something fun and funny that you will enjoy next here on The Score.
Holy smokes. Don't eat popcorn at halftime. Tell your children that when you put them to bed tonight. I got a game to do here.
Kevin Harlan is beautifully unfiltered. That is a made guy who is comfortable and trusts himself as a broadcaster.
He's my favorite.
He lets himself be weird and honest and whatever. It's a very, very good listen whenever he's on the mic. I didn't hear any of this because it's him and our guy Kurt Warner doing Monday nights on Westwood One.
So last night, I'm driving to Scottsdale to meet Leisure for dinner, and I was listening to the game because, you know, I love Kevin Harlan. Obviously, it was a really interesting and good matchup. And they get to the end of the first quarter, and I was like, yeah, we got to bring this back because this is just good stuff between those two dudes.
Second down and 7 for Tampa Bay. 15 seconds remaining, first quarter and ticking.
And Rashad White is kind of their big back, their power back. Kind of remind me of the Steelers. They got a couple guys in Jaylen Warren. Trying to forget. Najee Harris, the big back there, the two-back system that they've got. One a little more shifty, one more downhill and a power back. And they do a nice job of mixing those two guys up.
See, if you weren't gallivanting around the globe calling NFL games, you would have been with us last week in Pittsburgh.
You're right.
And you would have seen Najee Harris.
But, hey, that's why you're here. You're my partner, right? You pick me up when I forget something like that, you know?
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night. Let's go to the second quarter.
I am not sure what that means, people.
I don't know either, but I just said it.
I'll just sit here and shake my head.
Let's go to the second quarter, 3-0 Chiefs. And you're listening to Monday Night Football on Westwood One.
Oh, God, that's awesome. That's what I'm saying. I didn't realize it was that, but he's unfiltered. He's like, you're a big horse. You must be ridden. I think what he's talking about is he's got the whip. He uses the whip on the big horse Kurt Warner. But Kurt didn't really like that. I don't believe that Kurt loved that image of him on all
you're
fours.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night. Let's go to the second.
Warner gallivanting around on all fours in the booth, and Harlan on top with the whip.
That's so great.
God, that's amazing.
Have a little fun with those guys.
Yeah. And then Kurt gave it back to him a little bit. I don't know if you stayed the whole time there, Lawrence, but later on in the game, closer to halftime, Kurt was giving it back to him a little bit.
Kurt, when he is thrown to either Kelce or DeAndre Hopkins, he is 13 of 13 tonight. That's amazing.
It's pretty good, but both those guys have great feel for the game. And so we've seen a number of times as they're running their routes, they're finding the soft spot. They're on the same page as Patrick Mahomes. And so even when those routes probably aren't going to be open, they make them open because they connect so well together.
Did you hear me cough right there, clear my voice when you were talking?
I did not.
Well, because I was too focused.
I was too focused.
Well, good. I'm glad
you
got to
tune out 70,000 people when you're playing in a stadium like this. Uh-huh. You got to tune out your partner, the coffin, when you're trying to make a comment on air. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, mm-hmm. doesn't mm-hmm. matter. You just keep on going. The show must go on.
You are a pro in every sense of the word.
A pro? I thought I was a big horse. Like,
you
I'm
are a large
confused.
Horse. You must be ridden and fed. You are a big horse on Monday Night Football. Time for the start of the second half.
Well, at least now they're going to feed him. I was worried they weren't going to feed him.
I mean, if you're going to ride him, the least you can do is feed him. But you know what happens after that? After you feed him and you ride him, then the horse takes a massive dump, and you got to deal with that. You know? Oh. I mean, is Harlan ready to deal with that?
Oh my God.
Oh God. See that's Harlan driving that bus though, even on the cough, because he's like, did you hear me cough right there? Just begging Kurt to get real. That's the best.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
And then he goes to the play-by-play, even if there is none. He segues back to realness because he knows he needs to.
The reason why, like, Kevin Harlan and Bird are so good is that in those moments where most of us flinch or apologize because something has gone off the rails, they steer into it. Mm-hmm. And they do it, like... I'll never like the reason that Kevin Harlan is number one with me forever is him doing the ad read when they was it the a dog or a squirrel that made it into the CDW red zone. Like that'll never not be funny to me that he's out there doing play by play of stuff that's happening on the field, or the drunk guy that ran onto the field. He just gets it.
Hey, man.
And he's amazing.
You're a big horse.
Observe, describe, and react. That's your gig. So he's totally cool and comfortable observing the squirrel or the drunk, describing it, and then reacting. But he'll leave room for the big horse to get out there, and then he doesn't mind riding the big horse.
My goodness. Well, tomorrow's show, we're going to have a lot of cool stuff for you. And I'm told... there is going to be an announcement tomorrow about us adding a Bears person to our roster.
Oh, really now?
Uh-huh.
Really now?
Yep.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
We could use another. We could always use another.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. All right, good. And we had a nice meaty topic that I think should lead to some emotional disagreement that I'm looking forward to, that we put on the shelf during the show today, and we're going to do it tomorrow somewhere. Very much looking forward to that. We'll turn the page and look at the mighty New England Patriots tomorrow at 3 o'clock as well.
For Tanny and Shane and my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and the appreciation that you show us. We will try to... do that in kind tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock here on The Score.
I mean, that is peak entertainment aura.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.